healthy and green.
Green Divas.
They got green dudes too.
Green Divas.
With more green news, you got to believe us. Listen to the Green Divas. Green Divas Radio Show.
Welcome to the Green Divas Radio Show. You're on with Green Diva Meg.
And Green Diva Lynn.
Yay!
Out here in the Midwest, wearing my pajamas and slippers and a knit hat made locally by my own mother.
That's so awesome. Go,
I am
Mom.
Looking good. You, let's get the video camera going.
And by the way, I think your mother was the first one that donated to our GDGD radio.
Yay, Mom. Thank you.
Thank you, Mom. So we have a really exciting show. Don't we always have a really exciting show?
It's always exciting.
I feel like people are going to think I'm not being sincere, but I am. It's all very exciting. I noticed that in the opening of many of my interviews or segments, I'm like, oh, I'm so excited to talk to. And I'm like, yeah, but I am. But I actually am.
There's so many great people that we talk to.
I just got to find
Well, you get to talk to most of them.
A different way of saying it, yeah. Anyway, well, I got to talk to you.
Of course.
Lynn did a great My Earth 360 report this week honoring a woman who's really done a lot to help us understand how chemicals are affecting our universe here.
Yes, Theo Colburn.
Yeah, it was very nice. So you got to listen to that and more in that segment. Lee Garofalo from Green for You did a nice Green Divas DIY.
She's so handy.
Not only is she handy, but the projects are so easy and fun. This is one to do with little kids.
Mm-hmm.
And her kids are about the same age as my grandkids, so I just eat this stuff up.
Right.
I'm like, on it. I'm getting the materials. We're doing it. And so it's a holiday thing, you know. And then Karen Calabrese, who is like amazing raw foodist.
In Chicago.
Thank you very much. Well, she's all over the place, and she's stunning.
She's based here.
And we had.
I know. She looks great.
Yeah.
She's 65 or.
I think she's
like
older
that.
Than that. And when you look at her, you're like, okay, I don't look that good. And I'm, you know, like 20 years younger. So.
Oh, please.
We're working it. I'm eating more raw food since I talked to her. Just
yeah.
So you know.
And
then.
Sean Gardner.
Yeah. That guy
is quite an amazing man.
Well,
happy that we got him on our show.
He's not only like a social media rock star, but he like so motivated sincerely to help with that, you know, the cachet with the capital, whatever social capital he's gained, he's using it for good
with Giving Tuesday on Twitter.
Yeah, he's helped to develop that. You know, it was something that was started by the UN, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And he got involved, and wow. And it's just really a blowout, wonderful thing for so many organizations that need help, like the Green Divas.
Yes, please help the Green Divas.
We're not nonprofit, but we sure do. We're not profitable, and we need help. No.
Well. Which brings us to our crowdfunding campaign, and we have some cool holiday rewards, one of which is the Ava Anderson gift pack.
Yeah.
And there's a skincare set and a another set in there that is for just daily essentials like deodorant.
Well, and this is, and we're talking like really super clean, organic, spectacular
yes.
skincare products. You have to check these out. And also,
so
of course,
gift wrapped.
Buygreen.com. We have some gift certificates as well in our gift bag. So these are just special. They're going to be just this week only because, of course, the holidays are coming and we want to get them out right away so people can use them for gifts. So
right, and they're at a discounted price. So.
Go to fundgdgd.com. And with that, I want to just mention real quick – but not the least, of course, is buygreen.com, one of our fabulous sponsors, where your trusted source for green and healthy living products for home or office. Go to thegreendivas.com, click on the marketplace in the menu,
mm-hmm.
and you'll see them right up top. Go through that and get the special Green Diva discount.
And if you get the gift certificate, shop via that link.
Okay, folks, stay tuned. A lot of really great stuff coming your way. Overwhelmed by environmental news? Listen to the Green Diva's My Earth 360 report for the latest eco news bits from around the globe, carefully curated and born by our need to say WTF. But we also love to share encouraging stories and, of course, ways that you can make your voice count for the earth. It's not just my earth, it's our earth, and together we can make a difference. This segment is sponsored by TerraPass. Clear the air with carbon offsets at TerraPass.com. And another awesome Green Diva's My Earth 360 report with Green Diva Lynn Hasselberger. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Green Diva Meg.
So what's happening in environmental news this week?
This week, sad to report that Theo Colburn passed away. She was an amazing woman who's basically behind the discovery of endocrine disruptors.
Oh, we hear a lot about that, like triclosan and all these things in our personal care products and everything.
Exactly. Hey. And she's just she was an inspiring woman. She will continue to be. She went back to school at the age of 58 for her PhD.
Wow.
So that she could, quote, maybe undo some of the things that my generation basically foisted on society.
Nice.
Meaning the chemicals that were unleashed into the world.
Right, right.
So her work continues. She had founded the Endocrine Disruption Exchange, and that funds research into endocrine disruption and its causes.
Yeah, and it's not just for humans, but I understand that there are things that go into the water systems and are harmful to animals' endocrine systems.
Exactly. Well, yeah. Her breakthrough actually happened when she was researching the Great Lakes water quality.
Uh-huh.
And she found synthetic chemicals at low levels, but found that they were having an impact on animals' development and reproduction. There wasn't a term for this until 1991 when she and a team of all of these international scientists came up with a term for these chemicals, which was endocrine disruptors.
Right, right.
So, yeah, it's very important. And because of her research, you know, there were the bans on BPA and hopefully more bans on endocrine disruptors in the future because they impact us, they impact animals. We don't really even know to what extent.
Right, exactly.
Yet. So that was kind of worth noting.
Yeah. Well, it's a sad passing, and I'm glad that people are paying attention to her work.
Absolutely.
And so.
And here's on that note.
Go ahead. Anything good?
Well, this is kind of interesting. A new study found that all electric, and I mean vehicles that are all electric, not your hybrid.
Right.
All electric vehicles make the air dirtier, worsening climate change. It depends, though, on the source of the electricity that
you
use.
Oh, right.
So if the source is coal, the cars produce 3.6 times more soot and smog depths than gasoline. It also worsens heat-trapping carbon dioxide. That, of course, exacerbates climate change. And my state is one of the states that has the highest percentage of coal-generated electricity.
Right, yeah. The Midwest is a little bit more so. Like here in the East Coast, it's a little bit better for renewable energy.
Right, right. If the power supply comes from natural gas,
right,
it's we're looking at half as many mm-hmm. air pollution health problems as gas-powered cars. But then you get into, well, fracking and all that good stuff.
Well,
hybrid and diesel engines, you'll be happy to know, are cleaner than gas, so you're off the hook.
Well, I've got a hybrid electric.
Right, exactly.
So it's not just a hybrid.
Good.
You know, there's hybrid, there's hybrid elect, plug-in hybrid.
Okay.
And, yeah, there's a whole bunch of classifications. We have to talk to John Volker again because he had some very detailed information about all this specific topic here.
Well, I think what we need, and they exist out there in the world, are just charging stations powered by solar.
Exactly.
I think everybody should just have one at their house. Problem solved.
I need one. All right. So we got to wrap this up, but I know that you will do a post with all the latest news of interest and everything you talked about. So thank you, Green Diva Lynn. Another great report.
Thank you.
This segment has been sponsored by TerraPass. Remember to get your carbon offsets at TerraPass.com. Get all the details from this Green Diva's My Earth 360 report and lots more on TheGreenDivas.com. That's T-H-E, GreenDivas.com and MyEarth360.com.
The Green Divas love food. Organic, local, fresh, whole, delicious food. Here now is another Green Diva foodie file.
Yay! I'm so happy today to be talking with Karen Calabrese. She was very flexible in letting me pronounce her name several ways.
I answered to them all, you know.
Karen is an entrepreneur. She's a foodie, a raw foodie, a vegan of many, many years. She owns fabulous restaurants, and I think one of the first raw vegan restaurants, right?
I have the longest standing raw restaurant in the country.
Thank you. That's what we're talking about.
Yes. And I'm very proud of that, being in the middle of Chicago.
I think it's fabulous. Well, that's how we know about you, because our Green Diva Lynn lives in Chicagoland.
Uh-huh.
And she is a big fan. So we're very excited to get you on the air, Karen.
I'm excited to be here anytime I have the opportunity to kind of give some information, because I love to tell people. I don't want to convince anybody of anything. I don't want to debate any ideas. I don't want to talk you into anything. I just like to share information that's worked for me for 46 years. And if it feels right or something settled, then let it settle in and use it. If not, let it pass you on by, because everything isn't for everyone in every moment of their lives. You know, it's all a journey for all of us.
I think that's a great philosophy, and I think it's real. It works.
Yeah, it does.
Because everything isn't for everyone. So,
well, I didn't get to this overnight. I didn't pick up a book one day, you know, and go,
right.
Oh, raw food sounds like a great thing. I'm going to do it. You know?
Right.
It just didn't happen. It's been going back and forth for 46 years. I'm still not where I know that I can be. I'm, you know, always looking for new goals to reach, and it's life as a university. You're always moving and progressing and moving forward. So I never want anybody to feel bad or uncomfortable about where they are. Just know that there's always more to learn and do.
Well, and I think it's healthy to be striving and to have goals and to know that it's okay to not be perfect. Although I just want people to know, this is radio, but you have to go look up Karen, and that's Karyn, right?
Yes.
Because she's absolutely stunning, and you would never guess her age. Never.
Thank you. And the pictures have not been retouched.
No, she's, you know.
And I don't use Botox or surgery or anything, because it terrifies me.
Yeah, me too.
And not that I have a judgment on anyone choosing to do that, you know, but I know I found another way to do it.
Right.
Because I'm sure if I didn't know what I know, I'd probably be out there like everybody else, poisoning myself or doing what I want.
Right.
I don't want to pass judgment on it. I'm not going to say that. But it kind of terrifies me, and I do know that I don't want to hide my roadmap. So every line, every wrinkle, everything that we're manifesting externally is just a manifestation of what's going on internally. So I don't want to hide that map. I want to pay attention to what's going on when I'm doing too much of this or not enough of that.
Yeah. Well, and there was something you said before we got on the air about, you know, as women, and we, you know, women of a certain age, and, you know, I'm doing that thing, that there's no reason that we can't treat ourselves with food and enjoy life and still be glowingly beautiful.
Well, you know, I joke, but it's not really a joke. I do this as much for vanity as I do for health.
That's what you had said, and I wanted you to say that. Cause
I do it as much for vanity. because, you know, that outward is what's attracting everything in my life to me. So,
yeah.
You know, it doesn't even have to be the shape of your nose or your eyes. It's the glow. It's that inner vitality that you're pushing out there to other people that attracts people to you.
So let's talk about being a vegan? Because I confess to you when we were talking that I'm sort of a vegan wannabe. I'm a chegan, or I've been a chegan. Let's say that, because right now I am a vegan.
And what I was explaining to you that most people don't realize, because I get people that come in my store all the time and they go, well, yeah, Karen, I can be a vegetarian, but there's no way I could be a vegan because I really can't give up my cheese.
It's an addiction.
And what you need to look, and it's online now. I've been saying this for 30 years. But, you know, you can go online to find out everything. The chemicals, the casein that they use to bind the cheese, which is actually pig guts, the casein, they fill it with so many chemicals, and the chemicals are as addictive as heroin. So it isn't necessarily the cheese that you're addicted to. You're addicted to that chemical reaction in your body. But then the added aspect to it is the fat, and part of the human condition is to have fat. We're supposed to have salt, fat, and sugar, but just the right salt, fat, and sugar. But so you want that fat, and those chemicals you become addicted to, so it's like, I can go without, but just let me have that one little piece to feed that addiction.
Now, I've always joked around about that I need a 12-step program to help me separate me from cheese, but you described it when you started, you know, talking about the fact that there really is a physical, chemical,
there is a
addictive,
biochemical reaction to going on with the cheese and the fat in your body, which makes you require it.
Those bastards. Yeah. So I'm very.
Oh, no, they know how to get you.
I know.
They know how to make you the consumer they want because they put it in everything. You can go out and order a salad and it'll have cheese in it, and it's not even necessarily on the menu. You can order broccoli and they'll smother it in cheese. They're going to keep you addicted. And when I say they, you know, I don't know who they are, but they figured out how to keep you spending money and coming back.
Food scientists and marketers, yeah. Well, so luckily my gallbladder just freaked out like a month ago and was like, I told you I don't want any more cheese. So, you know, in an effort to keep my gallbladder intact, I stopped, you know, with my little cheese binge that I was on. And it wasn't really, I'm exaggerating. I mean, I'm a foodie. Right. I do really lots of healthy, raw, yummy juices and smoothies and raw foods, but I still.
But all it takes is that one.
Yeah.
You know, what I tell people is cause and effect is what rules the universe.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter how small the amount. It depends on how adaptable your body is. The human body is always adapting to what you're giving it.
Yeah.
So depending on what your DNA or what you were born with, it's how it's going to adapt. Well, some people can handle certain things much longer than others.
Apparently.
You know, I have no adaptability. All the women in my family died overweight and young. My mom at 48, my grandmother at 50, and my great-grandmother at 60.
Oh.
I'll be 68 my next birthday. I haven't been sick in 40 years. I don't know what illness or tiredness is. I work 16 hours a day, 6 days a week.
Oh, my God. People, I'm just going to re-underscore. Go look at a picture of this woman. I would never in a million years have guessed that you were 68.
Yeah.
So,
and I'm not special. The whole point is the body is just adapting to what you're giving it. So you could be doing 1,000 juices a day. It would be the equivalent of me putting the right premium gas in my car every day. But if I put a little bit of cheese in there every day with the premium gas, is going to create an imbalance.
It didn't work.
You can only trash compact so much, take in so much, without the body reacting to it.
I really, really believe my gallbladder was just, you know,
screaming at you,
accentuating. So now, two, three weeks later, you know, not had any cheese, and I'm back, you know, really back to making my cashew yogurt or sour cream or whatever
and
it is.
By the way, there's some wonderful other fake cheese. I mean, of course, I make the raw cheeses too, and I think it's wonderful, but there's some other things on the market like that Dr. Cow and the Punk Rock Labs. There's some people,
I don't know them,
making some really good cheeses that are just like the regular cheeses you're used to eating.
Well, and that's okay. I mean, I'm partially okay just kind of moving into a different frame of mind. You know what I mean? Not necessarily having to have melty things.
Because the mind is one thing, but the biochemistry that's been playing for years is another, and you have tapes that have been playing. So in my opinion, even though you didn't ask me, you need to put some of that in the refrigerator and just have it there for when that moment hits.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, you gave me permission then to find...
You don't go down the rabbit hole. Get the good fake stuff and just have it in the refrigerator.
In case, I have that moment where I'm like,
Because we emotionally eat, too. We emotionally call on stuff. It isn't all about... I mean, if the brain could control us, everybody would be skinny and healthy. That doesn't work.
Yeah. Yeah, apparently.
And unless you do a good detoxification program also, you've got all that old stuff in there that will be calling on you again.
Yes, yes, it does. So I'm, like, actually grateful that my gallbladder freaked out.
Yes.
And it's much happier. And I can tell you, based on what I'm eating, exactly what's going to happen. And so it's telling me, yes, I like that. No, I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this, maybe not. But it's putting me back in the, you know, 25 years ago, I was juicing and sprouting and making my cashew stuff. And I was really, well, I was young and healthy and happy. And I'm remembering and doing all those things again. And it feels really good.
Well, that's why I live this life. The only thing that I caution, though, is that I just don't want people to think that you're going to get it overnight.
Because
just like you did it 25 years ago, and then you stopped.
Yeah,
you know
well.
What I'm saying? There is a rabbit hole. There's a negative gravitational pull to go in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
And we can have all the mindset in the world, but, you know, unless your friends are saying, hey, let's go out for water or juice, you get pulled back in to a degree. And that's why, to me, the most important thing that I teach and that I do personally myself is detox and cleanse my body a minimum of 4 times a year. And I'm not talking about these 3-day juice fasts that are so popular now. I actually think those are dangerous
because
they trick the body into thinking it's starving to death.
Right.
But I think a good detoxification program breaks up and pulls out all that old stuff that calls on you to redo and, you know, to go back to. So me, I've been a vegan 46 years. I've been a raw foodist about 32. I don't drink, smoke, or do drugs. I don't do any chemicals whatsoever, and
right.
I detox my body a minimum of 4 times a year.
All
minimum.
Right, so tell me, because I am like, I'm kind of with you with everything else, but I haven't done any detoxes lately.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what you would recommend for someone like me who, you know, 50-something, early 50s, you know,
mm-hmm.
menopausal, that kind of thing, and venturing back to my raw food, like I said, 60% raw food I had mentioned earlier. You know, I'm pretty what would you recommend that I do for a detox?
Well, you know, there are many of them out there, but of course I'm going to recommend mine.
Yeah.
I have a book out there called Soak Your Nuts, The Cleanse.
And wait a minute. I remember seeing that, and that was hilarious. Hilarious.
It's called Soak Your Nuts, and it's The Cleanse. I have two books, Soak Your Nuts, The Cleanse, and then I have Soak Your Nuts, The Conscious Comfort Food Recipes. But and I have 5 doctors that have given recommendations that gave me testimonials in my book, and I have anywhere from 60 to 150 people that come and take my classes every other month. I've been teaching them for over 35 years.
Okay.
And so I'm very comfortable with my detoxification program.
Good.
But I'm not saying mine is the only one. There are many out there.
No, I want. But tell me about it.
Well, people come in once a week. I make recommendations, and I offer an optimal and a conservative. In fact, the fact that you're 60% raw already, you'd probably go for the optimal. Doesn't make it better than the conservative. It's just where you are and what you're ready to do.
Right.
And so people that first week, a lot of them choose to go 100% raw. A lot of people choose to go 100% vegan. It depends on where you are.
Yeah.
There are certain products that I recommend. Of course, I have them all for sale, but
okay.
You don't have to buy them from me. You
okay.
can get them at your local health food stores.
Gotcha.
Because we do things like fenugreek seeds that start to balance your blood sugar levels so you stop craving sugar. We do things like all types of chlorophyll and greens because
okay.
as human beings, we're supposed to be doing 60 to 70% chlorophyll a day. We've got the same
wow.
DNA as a monkey or a chimpanzee.
Wow.
And we should be living on about 70% of chlorophyll a day. So we start introducing our different forms of chlorophyll.
Okay.
And we just gradually take out and put in, take out and put in. And then by the third week, when I have your protein levels in balance and your blood sugar level and your stomach has shrunk and your whole system and house is kind of set up differently, those who choose do a little mini juice fast. Those who don't have a different protocol.
Yeah.
So we work up to it, and then we work down away
okay.
from it instead of just jumping off a cliff.
See, that sounds very similar to the one, I don't know if you know, Anne Louise Gittleman.
No, I'm not familiar with her, but yeah. I'm, if it's similar, then I'm sure it works.
Yeah, where she really
– trained.
Yeah, and yeah, it's all probably very similar, but
mm-hmm.
I'm going to get Soak Your Nuts.
It's available on Amazon. We're in our second or third reprinting. It's in Russian and several Italian.
Wow, how exciting. So
yeah.
I'm going to do this. I'm going to write about it, and we'll catch up, you know, as things progress, I bet.
Well, and you can call on me to help you along the way. This is what I do. I actually have people. Angela Bassett comes in to work with me.
Wow.
And Tasha, people come in from all over the world to do my detox class here with me because it works. And well, it's not that I'm doing anything special. I'm just helping people to get back into what we all intuitively know what's right.
Yeah.
We really do. We're born with a gut intuition knowing how to take care of ourselves.
Well, and I like that you have a very, how do I put it, a very welcoming and easy way. You're not like making me feel judged, and I'm guessing that's part of why you do so well, because you make everybody feel like okay wherever they are, you know.
There's no right or wrong or good or bad. I even had that over one of my my restaurant, Karen's on Green. I hope your listeners look that up. It's really a gorgeous, you wouldn't even know it was a vegan restaurant. But over the bar, and yes, I have a bar with alcohol, even though I don't drink. I serve it to other people. My theory is I'm like the Salvation Army. They give you free food and teach you religion. I'm going to give you your booze, and you can see how great vegan food is.
Yeah, why not?
And I have a sign over the bar that says, there is no judgment here, no right or wrong or good or bad, just a chance for an earth-friendly experience for body, mind, and spirit. So, you know, my grandmother taught me a long time ago, you catch a lot more flies with honey than you do vinegar.
That's the truth, man. That is the truth. Well, I am so glad we got to speak. I wish I were, well, if I come, and I expect to come to Chicago at some point to play in Chicagoland, I will.
Well, you better let me know or I'll be very disappointed.
Oh, no, I absolutely have to come give you a hug and try some of your absolutely delicious food. And, you know, hopefully I'll be reporting just how much I've progressed. I'm going to go get your book.
Well, I appreciate that. And, you know, one other thing I do ask, if your listeners will tune in to my YouTube station.
Oh, yeah.
We are trying very hard to get 10,000 viewers. We're up to 4,000. I'm kind of late on the block because most of the young kids have been doing YouTubes and those for years. I just got started.
No, that's great.
And once we get to 10,000 viewers, I can start broadcasting my classes over the Internet again.
Oh,
we did
people.
For a short period.
And how? So they just look it's up.
Just go to Karen Raw. For YouTube, and they can subscribe.
Okay.
And that would be such a wonderful gift if they chose to help me out with
that. You betcha. I'm going to do it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Karen.
And one last thing. I would like to remind people that if you don't take care of your body, the most magnificent machine you'll ever be given, where are you going to live? Thank you so much for this opportunity, Megan.
Great philosophy. Thank you so much, Karen.
Take care.
Hope you're hungry. For more easy and delicious recipes and even more foodie information, go to thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com.
Wait, don't throw that away. Green Divas love to repurpose, upcycle, and reclaim, and keep lots of useful items from going to the landfill. Give it a new life. Or just get creative with easy-peasy Green Diva DIY projects. And yet another awesome DIY for the holidays with our favorite Green Diva DIYer, Lee Garofalo. And I love her personally for so many reasons, but because she is so practical and makes even a non-crafty Green Diva feel like, oh my gosh, I can do that. So Lee is also the publisher and founder of greenforyou.com, and that's green4u.com. Hi, Lee.
Hello.
So what are we going to do this week?
So this craft is for the kids this week. We're going to make lanterns out of glass jars using parchment paper, and it's super simple, and I guarantee you, you probably have all the things you need in your house.
Well, I know I have a lot of glass jars, so I'm kind of excited about this.
Exactly. So you can use any glass jar, so just keep glass jars from anything you have in your house, from your salsa to your, you know, spaghetti sauce. Just take the label off and get it clean, which is actually very easy to do if you use steel wool. You don't need to use any chemicals or anything like that. Just get a nice piece of steel wool and you can get any label off and the sticky stuff easily.
Right.
So find the glass jars you want to use and then take out your parchment paper and cut parchment paper to go just around the glass jar. And a little bit taller than the actual jar, I'd say by an inch or two, but no more than that.
Okay.
cut the paper out and give it to the kids and let them draw on it. And I would say that crayons and pencils work better on parchment paper than markers. Markers do not do as well on parchment paper, so this is a craft you want to use the crayons for.
Okay.
And let the kids draw whatever they want.
Now, tell me how, maybe I missed it, how we kind of tack the parchment paper. Are we using tape?
Well, after the kids draw on it.
Oh, I see. Okay, we haven't gotten there yet.
It's easier for the kids to draw on that than trying to do it when it's on the glass jar.
Okay, I'm ahead of you. I'm sorry.
That's okay. So they draw whatever they want to draw. They can draw, you know, a holiday scene. They can draw the family, whatever they want. And when they're done, you wrap it around the glass jar, and all you need is a piece of tape. You don't need to get out a glue gun or any fancy glue things. You cut the paper the right size, and you just take a piece of tape, and you put it, you know, where the edges meet, and you're all set. The only other material you need is one of the battery-operated little tea lights, and you turn it on and drop it into the glass jar, and you can put it anywhere. I don't recommend using a candle, even though using parchment paper is supposedly safer. I just never recommend using candles for anything.
Yeah, and when you're with kids, it's just a little bit safer because they want to stare at it. They want to play with it, you know.
Yes, and they sell these battery-operated candles literally everywhere, even in the drugstore, so you can find it anywhere.
Yeah, I got to admit, they're kind of brilliant idea. You know, I mean, it's a little cheesy, but with kids and stuff, it makes me feel so much more comfortable having the candles all on, you know.
And it's a great gift for kids to make for their, like, friends and family, you know, because once they make one, they're going to want to make a million of them, and then you're going to have a million lanterns around the house. So, you know, let them make it as part of their gifts for, you know, the grandparents and everything else, and, you know, they'll love it.
Oh, I'm going to do that with my grandkids. See, this is perfect. Every time I talk to you, I get an idea, and, you know, mostly I've been doing it. Remember the one, I think you did, like one of the first ones you did with us, where the wooden memory game?
Yep.
I made that for my grandkids, and they loved it.
That's great.
Yeah, I felt so special. Well, another great idea, and again, Lee always does a really excellent tutorial, and she'll share that with us on thegreendivas.com. So, getting ready for the holidays, you know, let's have some fun getting crafty, but not, you know, low stress, right?
Absolutely.
Thanks again, Lee. Talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me.
To get an easy-to-follow tutorial on how to do this fun Green Diva DIY project and many others, go to thegreendivas.com. That's thegreendivas.com. And remember, buy less, make more, and buy local whenever possible. Give the gift of less carbon pollution this year. A carbon offset represents the reduction of 1 metric ton of carbon dioxide emissions. TerraPass offers carbon offset gift packages that include a unique gift with each purchase. Ideal for environmentalists, travelers, or just those hard-to-shop-for people. Go to TerraPass.com/holiday to feel great about your gift-giving this year.
Green Divas get to talk to so many inspiring people, who each in their own way is helping us find a deeper shade of green. Here's just one of them. Enjoy.
Wow. I am in the presence of social media. God, really. Sean Gardner. You know, he was like Forbes number one social media power influencer. Hi, Sean.
How are you? How you doing?
I'm wonderful, and we appreciate you've been helping us along a little bit, and you know, Lynn has schooled me because I've said to you before, I'm not as social media advanced as Lynn is, but she is just wicked jealous that I'm having this conversation with you without her.
Wow. Oh, goodness.
But you know, you're a social media god, and you've obviously you're helping teach people through your consulting or whatever. I think you're coming out with a book. Is that correct?
Yes, I am. The book is coming out next Monday, and it's called The Road to Social Media Success.
There you go.
Will include a number of articles that I've written for, like, LinkedIn and Huffington Post, and it's going to also include some new pieces as well, some interviews and some good observations that I've had about, or these observations that I have, rather, about where social media is going in 2015 and beyond. Because, you know, when I go places, people always ask me, well, God, you know, how did you get to where you are right now?
Right.
When we know it just didn't happen out of thin air.
Right.
So I want to give people a real good sense of what my journey's been. So.
Oh, I can't wait to get my hands on that. But one of the other things is, and we also talked about this a little before, that Giving Tuesday, hashtag Giving Tuesday, mm-hmm. and the concept and the meaning behind it is very closely associated with you, to the point where we actually thought maybe you had founded it. We were like, wow, this guy's so cool. And you're still cool. But,
no,
you know.
No. No, that's funny. No, in 2012, about the holiday season, I'll tell you how I came across Giving Tuesday. I've always been a real sucker for, you know, nonprofit tech, social good, helping people, all of that. I mean, ever since, you know, I've joined social media in 2009. And what happened was in 2012, about maybe November, I swear I was looking on someone's feed. It might have been, the woman's name is Amy Newman.
Okay.
And Amy Newman is awesome. She has, her Twitter handle is Charity Ideas. And this is perhaps the most giving individual, man or woman, I think I know, like just the person alive. She just loves doing work for other people.
Aww.
And yeah, she loves totally.
So she's like the Mother Teresa of the social media world.
I think she would love that description. There you go, Amy. You're the Mother Teresa of the social good. Awesome.
Yeah.
I was looking on her feed, and I'm pretty sure it happened this way, but she had a hashtag, and the hashtag was Giving Tuesday. So I'm thinking, Giving Tuesday? Because, you know, for years it was a hashtag was Charity Tuesday.
Okay.
Which is still, you know, going around. But Giving Tuesday, I'm like, wow, it sounds really nice and inspiring. So I clicked on it, and knowing me, I did some great research on it, and I saw that Bill Gates and Melinda Gates and a number of other high-profile philanthropists in the United States, so that's what it was basically at the time. It was a United States, centered effort. And I love what I was seeing. I'm like, God, this is something, though, that has the potential to just completely, you know, sweep the world. I mean, country after country, continent after continent. And so I was like, God, I want to know how I can really get involved with it. So at some point in 2013, what I did is I kept retweeting that link, but I was retweeting it only on Tuesdays.
Okay.
So the guy, and he's just a man. His name is Henry Timms, T-I-M-M-S. And Henry Timms was really like the inspirational founder of, you know, this movement, because that's truly what it is right now. And I'll get to that in a second. But he took this idea to the United Nations Foundation. And Mr. Timms actually is he's the head of the 92nd Street Y in New York City.
He's
world famous.
I know it well.
92nd Street Y, right. Yes. So when you take like the 92nd Street Y and the United Nations Foundation, the resources, just that brain trust, the combined efforts of both of those groups really pushed this out. But about maybe April of 2013, I became Forbes number one social media power influencer. So my mom goes, hey, you know, this is great and all, but I don't want to see you just talking about brands.
Yeah, go mom.
And that's it. I want you to, because her whole point is that, you know, why not get involved with Giving Tuesday? Why not use my, you know, my this new platform to promote it? But I didn't know how or who to reach out to. So finally, they reached out to me. And it was a woman down at the United Nations Foundation. Her name is Anastasia. And she does special events and outreach and is absolutely dynamic. But she reached out to me. She pulled me in. And so ever since June of last year, 2013, I've been a social media ambassador for Giving Tuesday and just helping the United Nations Foundation really expand it online, you know, to different countries, to different people, influencers, you name it. So now, it was huge last year, and then for this year, just became even bigger.
Yeah. Well, is it sort of a tiny bit of a backlash? You got Black Friday, you got, you know, I don't know what you got on Saturday and Monday now. Everybody's got a shopping day for this holiday thing. So is Giving Tuesday sort of like the antidote to that?
Well, I think Giving Tuesday is, you know what, the funny part is this, and I totally understand this point of view, that we spend so much time, like, during the holiday season. Like, the holiday season is just this time for, like, just cheer, feeling good, you know, kindness, joy, love, and happiness.
Right.
And why not take full advantage of that for an international day of service, like, which is what Giving Tuesday is. It's just a day of service, giving back, raising money, anything you want to do as long as you're doing something for the greater good. And Black Friday and Cyber Monday, I mean, God bless them, right? But those days are days for commerce.
Yeah.
They're not
right.
days for giving back.
Right.
So I just feel like, why not just balance that? Because we've definitely spent so much time over the years talking about commerce and what people are going to buy. But why not go ahead and just, again, introduce something for the holiday season? Well, not introduce, but really have something for the holiday season where people can balance commerce with social good. And so that's really what, really exactly what Giving Tuesday is. It's just was really that answer to all of the talk, the endless talk about commerce, and just saying you can participate in that, but still take advantage of just the good cheer that for the holiday season and put it to good use for humanity in general.
Well, it's brilliant. And so, well, it's clear from talking to you that, you know, your mother raised you right. And you've got a good philosophy. And so you've obviously, how do I put it? You know, you've gotten this, you've grown this platform with your hard work and whatever, and you're putting it to good use. I'm sure you're doing lots of fun things, but this particular aspect of it is turning that cachet into a really brilliant movement that we actually horned in on a little bit. We're not nonprofit, although we could be.
Right.
But we're a media company struggling to try to get the word out. So, you know, we launched our thing on our crowdfunding campaign on Giving Tuesday, which, I don't know, maybe it's cheesy, maybe not. But we hope that people see the value in what we're doing to try to get the good word out for all kinds of organizations, you know. Anyway.
Well, you know what I'm going to tell you? I think, and just the return to Giving Tuesday, I know that something that I started during the latter part of this year that I'm going to expand even more starting on January 1st, is that what I did was I reached out to so many people, and it was kind of sporadic because, again, it's just the end of the year, and it was kind of quick. But what I did was I said, listen, how about everybody write an article about Giving Tuesday, and it could be in, you know, something that they can post on their own LinkedIn blog. Yep. And it can post it every single, you know, I can do something every day, and I'll post it on my, you know, on Twitter and so forth. So some individuals did that. But I just think that's a brilliant move to start, say, I don't know, maybe like in January or maybe the early part of, and that's good for you guys or for anybody.
Yeah.
Like, you can get your friends, you can get your donors, you can get your backers, folks on your board, whomever, to write something. And it doesn't have to be every day. It could be maybe, say, every other week or every week.
That's...
Those are the kinds of things that you're going to see as people now say, wow, this is something that has taken off. Because, you know, Giving Tuesday raised, you know, raised a great deal of money. I think the donations were up by 63% to nonprofits.
Wow.
This last year. Yes. Yeah. And then 68 countries participated in Giving Tuesday. And that was absolutely amazing. I mean, that's a complete, it blows away the numbers for last year.
Yep, taking it global, man.
So I think basically there's so many things that someone can do. You just have to be really, I guess you can say, creative.
Yep.
And different. And I'm on it to that hashtag every single day. So if there's something on there from you guys or from anybody, I'm definitely going to share that, because it's not just about sharing the Giving Tuesday work from people I know, but sharing the really great work from people that I don't know, because that increases, you know, it's just really all about community. Let me just say that.
What an interesting way to focus, you know, I'm sure it's a portion of your energy throughout the day, but to focus on, like, what can I give and how can I share? And you know that when you share someone's tweet, that it does a tremendous boost for them. I mean, so I'm just really excited about your philosophy and the work that you're doing to help. Because, you know, people really need it. There's not as much money available through grants and government agencies as there has been. And people need help everywhere. They really do.
Oh, yes. No, and you know what? I think I do this really for social media in general. One of the things that I like to do is to retweet like a different person every single day.
Yeah.
And again, I use more than Twitter. I do use Facebook.
Yeah.
I do use Pinterest and LinkedIn. God, it's just a bunch of platforms that I use.
Yeah.
But, you know, I have it's close to 760,000 Twitter followers as of today. It's like 758.
Yeah. I know. I know.
Yeah, so I know that so many people are looking at me, and they have me on maybe either a secret Twitter list or on the public Twitter list that I'm on. I think I'm on like 14,000 public Twitter lists.
Oh, my God.
So I know that there are people who are looking, and if I share somebody's work or just put their name on there, you know, that's another person whose life I know that I can impact, you know, maybe in a small way, but really give them an opportunity. And so I try my best to share good information and certainly stuff from, you know, dealing with the environment and dealing with nonprofits, because I'm sure you know this working in the field, but you know, philanthropy and sustainability, those are not sexy topics to most people. You know, they say, oh, you're a philanthropist. You work with, oh, that's so nice, son. That's awesome. And, oh, so you're dealing with that environmental stuff, like saving polar bears, huh? I got you. You good for you, man.
Good for you. Get me another drink, yeah.
So I know that they're not, you know, that most people don't look at, you know, they don't see it the way I see it, but I try my best to slip some things in, like around. If I know that two or three tweets are just going to be hot, I'll put in there, slip in there like a nice link about nonprofits and then maybe a nice link about the environment. And so that way I'm forcing them to read it. It's almost like the bookends are these big links that are going to get lots of retweets, but on the in-between, which you have to really put your eyeballs on, are something dealing with what I love, philanthropy and the environment.
That's brilliant. I think it's just brilliant. So we're going to close up soon, but I want to ask you if you could tell me and anybody else like me who may not be really as savvy at social media, but we want to change the world. And I believe social media is such a fabulous, powerful, and what we've just been talking about, how powerful it can be for good. What would you recommend that people do if they could do one thing to work with their social media and change the world?
Wow. Well, let me tell you how, and maybe this might not relate to everybody out there, but this is how I've been doing it, like as an individual. And the organizations may have a different approach. But when I got in on Twitter, I decided to make this decision. And my decision at the time was to use Twitter to just build it up. And then within a year, I would start posting on Facebook and LinkedIn, because the first three networks that I decided to work on, to open, were Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook.
Yep, me too.
Now, that's back in 2009. But, yep. I mean, you know, today we have more choices. It's Instagram.
Yep.
It's Pinterest. Instagram and Pinterest are so, I mean, they really have changed the game when it comes to just visual social media. And so, you know, I definitely believe that that definitely is something that people need to have, you know, at least in their arsenal. But what I would say is this. To pick back that one or two or three platforms that you know you're going to be really strong on and then just work towards really building up those numbers. Now, I will say this much. You know, when I say build up the numbers, I mean, don't get so wrapped up where it's all about that.
Yeah.
But like me, for instance, I started, let's see, 2009, I don't think I built up anything over the first 9 months. It was a funny time for me.
Yeah.
I was just happy to be on social media, and if
getting
somebody followed
it.
Me, they did.
Yeah.
If they didn't, right. But then in September, I started following people. I started maybe like following whatever the maximum was, like 950 to 1,000 people a day.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is, now that was just 2009, and then when Twitterlist came along, rather than use Twitterlist as like some sort of like status symbol, like how many people are following my Twitter list,
right.
And oh my God, and my Twitter list are just so amazing, and you're not even up on my level, so do you want me to follow you or not? Seriously, it was just that ridiculous from a number of people.
Can I confess,
so
I'm not even entirely sure what a Twitter list really is, so just move on.
Okay, so
I'll ask Lynn later.
So basically, you know, you have these lists, everybody has these lists, and you can activate. I mean, you don't have the list, but you can create lists. Let me say that.
Okay.
So I created lists, and over the years, I have created lists like for individuals by different categories, say the environment, business, family, social media, folks I like. I mean, these are just the titles of different lists.
Okay.
And then you can also now, and this is something I've been doing over the last 2 years. Since I've worked with Giving Tuesday, is I've started like categorizing people by city that they live in.
All right.
And this has been very helpful to me. But again, this is helpful to me because as I go out on the road, I'll be able to just contact everybody different city to city. But
okay, so like if you go to Chicago, you can hit your Twitter Chicago list and say, "Hey dudes, I'm in town."
Okay. Yes. So Chicago and Denver, and it's maybe like about 40 different cities.
Wow.
But that's one way that you can use Twitter to, like I said, to really connect with people. And the only reason I bring this up is because I think sometimes people are so, it's sort of like, well, I hear you shouldn't really like just follow anybody indiscriminately. You should just simply focus on your people who are in your, you know, in your particular field. The case that I make to people is this. And I'm sure you know this, dealing with, because it's human nature.
Yeah.
You're going to have people who are you going to lose along the way.
Yep.
And you may lose them because, A, they may hear something about you that's not true. Somebody may say something. Somebody may become very envious of you and just say, I don't want to support them anymore. They're just so awesome, and I'm not really that awesome yet. Oh, my God, you know, so... I mean, really. And so it could be anything.
It's not even personal, because I got to be honest. Like, sometimes I get upset when I go into my Instagram and I notice that a couple of people have gone away. I'm like, what? Who? First of all, who and why? Why would you unfriend me?
You know what, though?
Just thinking half the time it's probably not personal. It's probably... I mean, and maybe sometimes it is. That's fine, whatever.
Yes.
But,
you
know, people come and go in platforms anyway, right?
Yes, they do. But see, that's the reason why it's important, I think, to network and to connect with people as much as you can. Because, see, like last year, there were people who retweeted me and liked my Instagram photos and plus ones me on Google Plus and maybe might have, like, engaged me on LinkedIn last year, who aren't doing it this year. But you know what the good part is? I have consistently networked with people, followed a lot of people on Twitter. I keep my site and everything connected on I see my site connected on Twitter. So once somebody comes to my site, they can click and they can start following me on all those platforms. So all those people who may not have, like, who may have just kind of fallen off and just kind of went to the wayside and said, hey, I don't want to be a part of Sean's journey anymore, that's fine.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Maybe I'll see them again. But if I don't, I have a whole new group of people, a whole new core group of people
who can step
right in where they left off.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it interesting?
So,
yeah, try not to take it too personally.
I think that's a great way of go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I try not to take it too personally, and I do enjoy, I'm telling you, Lynn and I work together, and we're doing a major, major lot of work together, and we had never met when we started. It was all social media. That's how I never heard of her. We're social media connected, and we really got to know each other that way. And to the point where she came out and, you know, stayed with me, and we decided we would do this thing together, and there you have it. Social media love story.
You know what? I understand. And real quick, if I can say this, there was a series that I started, that I was a co-founder of for Huffington Post, and it's called the Twitter Powerhouses series. And it was way back in 2010 that we started it. And then I say we, I'm talking about Yasmin Beitoulahi.
Okay.
And she's in Orange County, California. I've never met this woman, but we've written some really great pieces together. And the Twitter Powerhouse series is something that's really, like, it was groundbreaking because nobody was doing what we were doing at the time.
Right.
People might have done a series, but we had a list, and then we also put in there, you know, like some personal interviews. So I'm with you about, like, how social media, you know, people don't necessarily, they haven't met, but they're doing some really great work together. So I totally identify with what you're talking about.
Well, I am just so excited to talk to you. I could talk to you all day, but we have to let you go. I hope that you will come back and we can chat some more about other things.
Oh, sure.
Oh, good. All right. And, Sean, do you want to tell everybody what your Twitter handle is so they can find you on Twitter?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. It's Tomorrow Night. That's at mention two, as in the number two, MORROWKNIGHT. That's Tomorrow Night.
Yeah.
And there's a story behind, of course, why I have that. But
You're like the social media knight in shining armor. Come on.
Wow, you're too kind.
Thank
you so much.
Thank you, Sean.
Hope you enjoyed that as much as they did. Please visit thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com. For more fun podcasts and information on the Green Divas and low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green. You've been listening to the Green Divas radio show. Be sure to look for this and other Green Diva Network podcasts on iHeartRadio, Stitcher, iTunes, Swell Radio, and Spreaker. Get social with the Green Divas on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. Subscribe to the Green Divas YouTube channel to watch them in action. And for all the latest good green news, visit thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com.